This is LA's home for the Dodgers.
Somehow makes the play.
And you're listening to Off-Season Dodger Talk.
He bobbles it, which falls face first, somehow picks it up, throws behind his back with his face in the dirt, throw to first base to Gonzalez and makes the play.
Call 866-987-2570 and talk to your host, David Massé.
Welcome to Nissan Dodger Talk. David Massé with you until 9 o'clock tonight. Taking your phone calls at 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. And happy birthday to Jackie Robinson, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, Dodger of them all. So I want to start the show by wishing Jackie Robinson a happy birthday. Also, too, want to say thank you on behalf of the Dodgers to all of the 29,000-plus that showed up Saturday at Dodger Stadium for Fan Fest. It was the largest crowd ever attended of a Fan Fest that the Dodgers have put on the last four seasons. So it was a great day out there. Tony Gwynn Jr. and I were out there for 4 hours, and I wanted to relive a couple of the interviews that we had on the main stage, and you will hear from Dodgers President of Baseball Operations and GM Farhan Zaidi at 8:15, and you'll hear from the newest Dodger, Logan Forsythe, who joined us up on stage on Saturday at 8:30. So those were the interviews that I wanted to relive with you from FanFest, and I thought four guys got the biggest ovation when we introduced them on the stage. Number one, it was Justin Turner and Kenley Jansen. They got the love from the fans for the first time since re-signing with the Dodgers, and I think they reinforced that they did make a good decision in coming back to the Dodgers. Also, too, I thought Yasiel Puig and Kike Hernandez really got a big ovation. Yasiel got a huge ovation, and Kike got a loud ovation from the ladies out there, and he actually got a box of chocolates, and somebody asked him to be their Valentine. So we all know which market Kike has cornered as far as Dodger fans go, and he does have already a beautiful girlfriend, so he is taken, ladies. We apologize. Also, too, the biggest news in the last 2 days for the Dodgers, and I think it is huge news for the Dodgers, they just reopened their Campo Las Palmas in the Dominican Republic yesterday. Remember, back in 1987, the Dodgers were the first major league team to have a facility in the Dominican Republic. And you've heard so many stories from countless Dodgers that really were growing up in the Dominican Republic, and their dream was to play for the Dodgers because that facility not only was a baseball facility, but really was a safe haven for so many Dominican Republicans out there that really were on the street, poor, didn't have money, didn't have food, were trying to feed their families by trying to become a baseball players. Not only did Campos Las Palmas, starting in 1987 by Peter O'Malley and Raf Avila, and by the way, his son is the GM for the Tigers, Al Avila. Those two guys, it starts with Peter O'Malley, number one, that had that facility in the DR. They not only taught baseball there, they sheltered kids and also taught them English and just assimilated them to American life before they were ever step foot on Vero Beach in Florida. So this is a great example of the Dodgers' renewed commitment to their international development of players. And I think it's great. If you've seen the pictures posted on the Dodgers' Twitter, you see how beautiful it is. It's basically a duplicate of the Dodgers' spring training facility in Camelback Ranch. That's how nice it is. And Mark Walter, the Dodgers' owner, was out there along with the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. Juan Uribe, Pedro Baez were also out there, former Dodgers, and Joel Peralta. Also, too, Stan Kasten. Jaime Jarrín made the flight all the way to the Dominican Republic because they named a few of the rooms after Jaime himself. Also, too, more importantly, the guy that I think you have to have baseball fields named after, and the Dodgers do, is Manny Mota, the godfather of all those Dominican Republic baseball players. Manny Mota has a number of fields named after him, at that new Campo Las Palmas that was reopened yesterday. And those Dodger luminaries, along with the commissioner, were there for the dedication of the new Campo Las Palmas that the Dodgers poured $8 million into renovating. And it sorely was overrun by vegetation and plantation by our previous owner, Frank McCourt, who really did not put an emphasis on international scouting, as the Dodgers were really the forefathers in doing that in all of Major League Baseball, not only in the Dominican Republic, but also abroad in Japan, in China, in Korea, all those places. The Dodgers were the first ones to really take an interest and try to globalize the game. And that all started with their owner, Peter O'Malley, who, by the way, I saw yesterday at the Southern California Sports Broadcasters Lunch. And that was the highlight of my day, because I had never introduced myself to Mr. O'Malley, and I did, and he was so gracious and really made my day by saying that he listens to Dodger Talk and he enjoys listening. So for me, that was the highlight of my day yesterday, along with seeing Vin Scully out there being honored for the first ever Lifetime Achievement Award. And we will let you hear part of Vin's speech at the Southern California Sports Broadcasters Lunch yesterday, put on by their president and the great Chris Roberts. And Chris was the one that called Vin a few times to get him to come and be part of the luncheon and be recognized like that. Vin said that he had been a member since 1958 when the Dodgers moved out here, but obviously after his 67th and final season, he kind of just wants to lay back and let everybody move on. But because of the convincing of Chris Roberts, Vin came out there for the Lifetime Achievement Award, and we'll hear from Vin later in the show around 8:45-ish. I pulled off the speech from Facebook. One of my Facebook friends, Kathy Bird, who's a Dodger fan, who was out there too, recorded the speech, so we'll let you hear a little bit about that. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. And going back to FanFest, and Yasiel Puig getting one of the loudest ovations out of any Dodger out there, it kind of blew my mind, because I wasn't sure what kind of ovation he would get, considering what happened last year, considering he hasn't been the same player since 2014 when he made the All-Star game. Since the second half of 2014, Yasiel Puig has had the same batting average as he had last year, .263. And he's only averaged 11 home runs since he made the All-Star team in 2014. So my question to you is, the reaction those fans gave Yasiel Puig on Saturday, does it reflect the masses of you, the Dodger fan? Are you satisfied with really plus defense and a guy that's an average player, but has the charisma, loves the fans, loves being in Los Angeles? Is that enough for you? 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. And I guess the bigger question is, do you think it should be enough for the Dodgers? If the fans accept him for what he is, should the Dodgers? 866-987-2570. Me personally, I feel like there's a lot more in there. If he just focuses and commits himself completely to baseball, all the other stuff will take care of itself. And Yasiel's a great guy. I love him. He was speaking English out there. As you've heard, after games when I've grabbed him off for post-game interviews, he's trusted me enough to do some of his first full English interviews with us after games. And I'm really rooting for the guy. He's a good guy. He just needs to really commit himself fully. And he did look like in great shape on Saturday. I had him almost take off his shirt for the fans out there, for the ladies. He did take the jersey off. He had his Yasiel Puig Foundation dry fit underneath, and he did get in better shape. He slimmed down, watched what he ate, but can he sustain it? That's always been the question. Last year, he came into camp, slimmed down, looked great, said all the right things, but then all of a sudden, it started to unravel, and he kind of went back to his old ways. That's the biggest question. Can Yasiel Puig sustain it? 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. When we come back on Nissan Dodger Talk, I'll let you know about a former Dodger now that has signed with the Toronto Blue Jays. Plus, we'll let you hear our interview from FanFest on Saturday with Andrew Friedman and Farhan Zaidi. Stay where you are. There's more Nissan Dodger talk next on AM570 LA Sports. This is Nissan Dodger Talk with David Vasse on Jackie Robinson's birthday. Hope you're having a great Tuesday out there. We're with you until 9 o'clock tonight. The next Dodger Talk is this coming Friday from 7 to 8 p.m. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. We're asking you whether or not the reaction at Dodger Fan Fest for Yasiel Puig, the hysteria for him and the reaction he got from the fans is reflective of what you, the Dodger fan, really feels about him. Is 263, 11 home runs, and really good defense enough for you? 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. We're also celebrating the fact the Dodgers have reopened Campo Las Palmas in the Dominican Republic yesterday, thanks to Mark Walter, Janet Marie Smith, Rob Manfred was out there at the DR. $8 million the Dodgers invested in renovating an overrun facility that was opened back in 1987, the first of its kind. So a great day for the Dodgers, and also a sad day for the Dodgers, at least for me, because he was one of my favorite Dodgers, such a great guy, salt of the earth, and a workhorse for the Dodgers the last 4 years. J.P. Howell, the Dodgers lefty reliever, has signed with the Toronto Blue Jays a one-year, $3 million deal. In 4 years with the Dodgers, J.P. was a very loyal soldier, 14-6 with an ERA of 2.49, including 205 innings of work. He was really good, and I still think he has something left in him. It'll be interesting to see how things go in the AL East, where he was with the Tampa Bay Rays before he signed with the Dodgers. But he's a great guy, and I'll miss him. I love J.P. Howell. Let's go out to the phones. Arcadia, Dan, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Dan.
Hi, David. Willie Calhoun hit 27 homers and only struck out 65 times in Double-A. Will you get an interview with him for Dodger Talk?
Actually, I'm waiting for spring training, Dan. He's going to be invited into big league camp. So pitchers and catchers report in 2 weeks. We'll be out there for the first full squad workout on February 20th. So when I'm in spring training and I'm right in front of him, I will bring you Willie Calhoun.
Thank you very much.
No worries, Dan. Oh, a request. Yeah, no worries. Willie Calhoun, Cody Bellinger, Alex Verdugo, all those guys we'll let you hear from as far as the top Dodger prospects. And one thing you can't question is Willie's ability with the bat. The biggest question is, where does he play in the National League? From what I understand, the second base defense is a little bit below par, maybe left field, but I think that's what the Dodgers are searching for this year. For Willie Calhoun, can he get better defensively at second base, or will they have to move him to the outfield? Let's go out to Gardena. Manuel, you're on Dodger Talk. What up, Manny?
What is up, DVA? First off, excellent show as usual. Let me tell you, man, I was just thinking the same thing about JP, when I heard the news that he's going to Toronto, man, I love that guy. He's like, he wasn't the best reliever, but he always showed up with heart. And win or lose, you know what, he had the same attitude, always a good teammate. You could see him in the dugout, always happy for people. And I'm glad that at least someone picked him up. But I think this front office is curbing towards going younger, at least in the arms department, which is fine, man. I mean, it just sucks when you see guys like that go. But, hey, moving on, I'm excited, man. I keep hearing good things about Logan Forsythe, the Wolverine of the Dodgers, so to speak. And I want to see him in action, man. I can't wait till the town of Camelback gives us some inside, in-depth, coverage from Arizona. Great show, DV. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Manuel. Appreciate it. Yeah, you know, one thing about J.P. Howell is maybe he ran his course with the Dodgers, and I'm not saying it was a move that shouldn't have been made. The Dodgers have, what, four or five lefties that are majorly capable, and Obviously, at the end of last year, it was obvious the Dodgers did not trust JP in certain situations. But I love the guy, and he was able to get not only lefties out, but righties out. That's what made him so valuable the last 4 years with the Dodgers, and we wish him the best. And I do still believe the Dodgers may be kicking the tires on Joe Blanton and maybe possibly Sergio Romo, who's still available as a free agent and gives the Dodgers a relief pitcher from the right side, a veteran that they could possibly use that is a different look. He's not a hard-throwing guy. He's a guy that's going to come with you from different arm angles and that off-speed and slider stuff. So he could be valuable to complement some of these hard-throwing righties the Dodgers have in their bullpen, like Josh Raven, Josh Fields. And we saw how many different guys the Dodgers went through last year in their bullpen. And speaking of roster construction, we had a chance to have Andrew Friedman and Farhan Zaidi on the stage with us Saturday at FanFest, Tony Gwynn Jr. and I. So I wanted you to hear not only what they had to say, but really the reception they got from the fans that were out there at FanFest.
It's great, but you know, I think the biggest part is these fans are why we're able to bring those guys back. You look at how we ended the 2016 season. And a lot of what we do is try to assess whether we need to make changes, whether bringing back a lot of the core group will put us in a position to compete for a World Series. And we felt really strongly that the way we ended the year, that core group, the camaraderie among the group, the fight within the group, and also the talent was something that put us in a position to win a World Series going into 2017. So adding Logan Forsythe, adding a couple of pieces here and there, we feel like this is a really, really talented, deep group that we'll head into spring training with.
Yeah, I would just add, it's really a testament to our ownership. I mean, we spent more than any other team this offseason by a significant margin, and it's because we had great players that we wanted to bring back to give ourselves another opportunity to get to where we were last year and even deeper. So, you know, we're appreciative of the fans that let us do that and our ownership for giving the green light, and we're excited to have those guys back.
I got a question for both of you guys.
Tony's got questions, guys.
We talked about it a lot on the radio last year about the depth and how it really helped you guys get as far as you did last year. What goes into that? Because you don't see a lot of teams build their team with depth in mind. You guys seem to have done it, and it's really worked out for you guys.
Yeah, it's one of those things. We talked about it last offseason heading into spring training. It's not a sexy thing in the offseason.
Right.
It's not something that grabs headlines. And it's also something that you hope never presents itself during the course of the season, which means you didn't have injuries, you didn't need to rely on it. But when you don't have it, if you have injuries, you can say, hey, look, we had bad luck. We had injuries, right, and that's why we won 82 games or whatever. You know, our thing was to get out in front of it as much as we possibly could and have as much talented depth around the diamond as we could to get in front of things that might potentially happen. Some of that is a testament to our scouting department, you know, with Andrew Tolles, and some of it is a testament to our amateur department, you know, with the number of good young players that we have kind of on the AA and AAA rosters that are ready to come up and help us. You know, it was an organizational-wide effort. Everyone had their fingerprints on the success of it, and it's something that, you know, the experience that those guys got last year is going to benefit them a lot, even more coming into this year.
When you talk about your farm system, that's what everybody talks about, and it's something that people can dream about in the future, but some of the guys you have right now, your veterans like Adrian Gonzalez, Andre Ethier, Justin Turner, how much do those guys make it a lot easier to bring those type of guys like Bellinger, Seager along a little bit slower, not have to rush them up to the big league club?
Yeah, you know, over the last couple of years and even predating that, I think, you know, one thing that has allowed this organization and other organizations to have a lot of success is kind of blending in the young players with the veterans. You don't want to be too overly reliant on young guys coming up, you know, and having guys, not only veterans that have a high level of play, but also can serve as an example for younger guys. You know, that's really beneficial. And like you said, having that luxury of time is really helpful because it gives guys the chance to fully develop so that when they come up, so when Corey Seager comes up or Julio Urias comes up, they make a big impact right away. And, you know, it's been great for us to be in a position where we've been able to hold on to those guys because, you know, when you hear about trade rumors and you hear, oh, it was this prospect or that prospect, you might think, hey, that sounds great. But when that guy turns out to be a Seager or Urias, you're happy you still have him around. So I think for us it's been a big thing to have that blend of young players and veterans, you know, both for now and for the future.
You know, I read last week that you guys are as disciplined as they come when it comes to making deals with other teams. We've been talking about Logan Forsythe, and it's not the sexy deal, but it seems like it's the perfect fit for the Dodgers and what this ball club does. What goes into a decision like what prospects you want to give up when you're going to these negotiations, these deals?
Well, first of all, we think Logan Forsythe is pretty sexy. So.
I'm sure he appreciates that, too.
Yeah. We joked that it was kind of the worst-kept secret in baseball that we were out there, you know, looking for a right-handed bat at second base. And, you know, we did have to be really patient. And one reason for that is we had, you know, a very short list of targets. And that's what being an organization like the Dodgers allows you to do. It allows you to be very targeted and really only aim for the top tier of guys when you're looking to fill a need. So patience, you know, I think the way it turned out for us was a virtue because we got a guy that we love. We think you guys are going to love him too.
Absolutely.
And, and we're really excited about how he rounds out our team. So it's definitely one of those things where when you're out there, you have a very specific need in mind. Everybody else in baseball knows it. You know, they might try to leverage you or take advantage of you, and you just kind of have to wait it out and wait for the right deal.
All right, I'm going to ask you guys a question that every fan calling into the show has asked. It seems like no matter what you do, everybody wants more. And people are wondering whether or not Chase Utley has a spot on this team still. He's still out there as a free agent. Fans love him. Is there a chance that he's back? Don't say there's always a chance.
We also love Chase, and you know, spent a lot of time talking about him this offseason. Still feel like there's a lot of life left in the bat, what he can do defensively. I've never been around a player that has impacted a group more off the field than Chase has, and that's real, and it's something that we value in a significant way. Now, in a vacuum, no-brainer. You get into, like, the context of our team and our roster, if anyone will get the benefit of the doubt of how to try to move pieces around, it's Chase Utley and how we feel about him. You know, we've maintained conversations with him throughout the offseason. Again, tremendous amount of respect. How it all shakes out, you know, there's still some time left in the offseason where we're continuing to be open-minded about how to continue to push us ahead. I don't know how to answer it, yes or no, but we love him also and feel strongly about what he's done for this organization.
All right, before we wrap things up with you guys, I have a vision in my head when you are making these type of decisions, your third offseason together. Andrew, when you go around the table to Farhan, to Josh Burns, to Alex Anthopoulos, the gregarious Greek, as I like to call him, I figure when it's time for decision-making time, this is the vision I have in my head. Andrew goes to Josh Burns. And what do you think, Josh? And he just smiles and shakes his head. And then you go to Anthopoulos. Half of his shirt is untucked. His pants are sagging. And he gets really excited. I think we should do it. And then you go to Farhan. Farhan, what do you think? And Farhan rubs that beautiful bald head of his and takes a deep breath and says, well, yeah, I think we should do it. Am I accurate with that assessment?
Do you have video surveillance?
That is the vision I have of you guys. And obviously it's worked out great. These two men have brought back the players that you wanted. They're going for a fifth straight NL West championship. And even more this year, World Series.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, guys. And I love the fans giving you the appreciation and the celebration that you both deserve. Thanks a lot for coming on stage.
Thank you guys
Thank you very much.
And that was Andrew Friedman and Farhan Zaidi from Saturday's Dodger Fan Fest. They had 29,000 plus at Dodger Stadium. And I was truly happy for those two guys that the fans did receive them well on Saturday, because I know many of you were skeptical about what they would do, their philosophy of baseball. But say what you will, they've been able to keep intact and carry the baton that Ned Coletti started, and now the Dodgers are looking for a fifth straight NL West championship. And I really do believe if the starting pitching holds up, the Dodgers have a very good chance of going to the World Series for the first time since 1988. The Cubs, who knows? You know, teams, when they win a World Series, especially young teams, you might have that hangover. I mean, the Cubs have not once in 100 years, as you know. And that city is still partying from last October. And the players have been part of that party. So it's going to be very difficult for them not to have a hangover from their first World Championship in a very, very long time. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. When we continue on Nissan Dodger Talk, we will let you hear from Vin Scully, who was honored yesterday at the Southern California Sports Broadcasting Association with the first ever Lifetime Achievement Award. Plus, we'll let you hear from the newest Dodger. Logan Forsythe was on stage with us on Saturday as well. So stay where you are. David Vasse with you until 9 o'clock tonight on AM 570 LA Sports. David Vasse live with you until 9 o'clock on AM 570 LA Sports Nissan Dodger Talk, as we are just 2 weeks away from spring training pitchers and catchers reporting to Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona on February 15th. And a couple of things about two players we've mentioned tonight on the show. Number one, J.P. Howell, who, in case you missed it, signed a one-year, $3 million deal with the Toronto Blue Jays after being part of four straight NL West championship teams with the Dodgers. Wanted to add one more thing about J.P. after pitching 205 innings for the Dodgers in 4 years and having a record of 14-6 with an ERA just under 250. Not only was he great on the mound for the Dodgers, but maybe equally as important was his leadership in that bullpen. And you need to have guys like that in the bullpen, guys that can bring some levity, can actually be a mentor to guys. And he was all of that wrapped up in one. He was basically the Jiminy Cricket for Kenley Jansen. I said that many times. J.P. Howell was Kenley Jansen's Jiminy Cricket, especially after Kenny Howell started to have some health issues and wasn't around Kenley on an everyday basis. J.P. Howell kept Kenley Jansen straight. He basically was Kenley Jansen being Dennis Rodman, J.P. Howell being Jack Haley back in the day. But obviously, J.P. Howell, a much better pitcher than Jack Haley was a basketball player. So not only will he be missed on the mound, but very much so in that bullpen. And hopefully, whatever he taught those guys and mentored those guys, hopefully they take it with them not only this year, but the rest of their careers. Also, too, you heard me ask Andrew Friedman and Farhan Zaidi about Chase Utley coming back. I think under different circumstances, he already would have been signed by now, but if you look at the Dodger roster, they're loaded. They have a full 40-man roster, and I think what complicates things even more is that Chase Utley only plays one, maybe two positions at the most, and second base and first base are those two positions. The Dodgers got a guy in Logan Forsythe who they envision to play every day at second base. At first base, you got Adrian Gonzalez, and when they want to give Adrian a day off, they're obviously going to give it to a right-handed bat like Scott Van Slyke or Darren Ruff. The only thing I could see as far as the Dodgers moving pieces around to re-sign Chase Utley, because they want him back so badly, but the roster flexibility is just not there right now, is if they believe Andre Ethier is going to beat out Andrew Tolles for an everyday job in left field. If that happens, I don't see Tolles staying with the Dodgers. I see the Dodgers wanting him to get more at-bats in the minor leagues. If that happens, I could see possibly the Dodgers signing Chase Utley to be that left-handed bat off the bench when Ethier is starting in left field against right-handed hitters. So That's one possibility, one scenario. But a report I read yesterday was that Chase has a few other offers from different teams that want him. And why wouldn't they? I'm surprised he's still on the free agent market. The only reason why, though, is from what I've been told, is he wants to come back to the Dodgers. In a moment, you'll hear from the new Dodgers second baseman, Logan Forsyth, who's been compared as far as the way he approaches the game to Chase Utley. But first, we'll take more phone calls at 866-987-2570. Let's go out to Jeff in L.A. You're on Dodger Talk. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing great.
You're talking about Chase Utley, and I just came across a thought about bringing him back as maybe a player coach to help mentor the younger guys and help tandem, help the two in the middle become a better duel.
You know what, Jeff? Even if he doesn't have that title of player coach, that's what he was the last year and a half with the Dodgers. He didn't need to player slash coach next to his name.
That's true. Okay.
All right. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. I know Andrew Friedman, like he said, he really does want to bring back Chase Utley. The problem is, how does he fit on this roster? Let's go out to Buena Park. Isabel, you're on Dodger Talk. Hi, Isabel.
Hey, David. How are you?
Doing great.
That's good. How's the kids?
They're doing great, Isabel. How you doing?
I'm good. It sounds like it was a real fun time this Saturday. So anyway, this thing, you know, good luck to JP. Yeah, I guess I wasn't too surprised that he wasn't going to come back this year. So anyway, I talk about Puig. You know how I feel about Puig. I agree everything you said about him today. So we'll see. You know, I just want to see consistency. I agree with you. I think he got more to what he had been bringing. So anyway.
I agree with you, Isabel. Thanks for the phone call. We'll see whether or not Yasiel can sustain it, not only for a month or two, but hopefully the entire season, because I know everybody wants to see him succeed in a Dodger uniform. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. Before we let you hear from Logan Forsyth, who joined us on the stage at FanFest, I want to give you a taste of Vin Scully, because I know we all miss his voice and will miss it this year and all the years to come, but he was honored at the Southern California Sports Broadcasting Luncheon yesterday with the first ever Lifetime Achievement Award. And Vin has attended those lunches since 1958, since the Dodgers moved out to Los Angeles. He was sitting at Peter O'Malley's table along with Tommy Lasorda, Brent Shire, Robert Schweppe. All those guys were under the direction of Peter O'Malley when he owned the Dodgers. So it was special to see those group of people sitting at the same table. And Vin was just perfect Vin Scully when he accepted this award. Even though it was at a small function, at a small golf course out there in Toluca Lake, he was still classic Vin. And I wanted to share part of his speech with you from yesterday. And thanks to Kathy Bird, who's a big Dodger fan, for posting this on her Facebook page.
I've always known broadcasting that it was a gift and I could lose it in a second, fraction of a second. So a lifetime was out of my hands. I truly believe it was God's grace. Then I look at achievement. If you look me up, you had that much time on your hands to look up Google, let's say, and put in Scully. They'd probably say something like, broadcast 20-some-odd no-hitters, 3 perfect games, 1,001 World Series and All-Star games, etc., etc., etc. And then I think about achievement. I didn't do anything. It was the grace of God that allowed me to be there to do those games. That was no fluke. There was some reason that I was supposed to be there. And that's a thought that is really humbling. So really and truly, what the award is, it sounds great, but as the first recipient, it is just a tremendous reminder of the good fortune that I have had. There can't be any ego of a Lifetime Achievement Award if you realize where it come from and how lucky you were to be at the moment and there.
Yeah, that was just part of his speech, and it was awesome, and I had to share it with you. And thanks again to Kathy Bird, who was right there in front of the podium and posted it on our Facebook page. She's a big Dodger fan and appreciated that so I could share it with you. And like I said, it was a great day there to see Peter O'Malley's table with Tommy Hawkins, with Brent Shire, Robert Schweppe, Tommy Lasorda, and Vin Scully there for his acceptance of his Lifetime Achievement Award, the one and only Vin Scully. And speaking of Vin Scully, he is related to another award that our very own Tim Cates won over the weekend. Tim won the Golden Mike Award for that special night with Vin Scully that we aired towards the end of last season for Best Radio Documentary. So congratulations to Tim Cates for that Golden Mike Award. Well deserved. He did a great job putting it together. Now, we want to let you hear from the man we've heard so much about, and he was very intense on stage. That is new Dodger Logan Forsythe, who was everything as advertised when Tony Gwynn Jr. was telling me, you don't want to mess with this guy. So here's our conversation with the new Dodger second baseman from FanFest.
Hey, guys. Jersey number 11, that's what you're wearing at FanFest. Is that the one you're going with during the regular season?
That is the number, yes. That's been my number my whole career, and I'm happy I can have it out here.
Talk about what it means to be traded at this point in time in the offseason, just a month, less than a month away from spring training. Were you hearing your name being mentioned in connection with the Dodgers? Did you think this was possible?
Yeah, you know, I heard the rumors, but, you know, to your first part of the question with, you know, it being so close to spring training, I mean, it's tough. I mean, you've got, by this point, you usually have everything lined up for spring training. So now we're kind of redirecting Florida all the way back out west. So, but we found a spot for spring, so that's a good start.
I don't think people understand the hustle and bustle of when you get traded. Fortunately, it happened for you during the offseason, so you had time to make arrangements somewhat. But tell these Dodger fans a little bit about yourself. What are your strengths of your game? I've already talked it up enough. I think they need to hear it from you at this point.
You know I don't like to talk.
I know
you. Yeah. So, you know, myself as a player, my biggest thing is consistency. And, you know, if that's, you know, your play on the field, more importantly is, you know, being a teammate. And, you know, what you do with the guys and just trying to bond the whole year. You know, I mean, if you stay consistent with that, the core group stays together and you go far in the season.
Yeah. People are pumped for Logan Forsythe. He's here at Dodger Fan Fest and will be the Dodgers starting second baseman on opening day. And last year, obviously, the Dodgers had Chase Utley play second base. What does it mean to you when you hear guys that played with Chase the last couple of years say that you're similar in the way you approach the game of baseball?
To be mentioned in the same sentence as Chase is it's an honor. But I mean, that was a guy when I grew up, you know, when he was in Philly, you know, playing against him, that was a guy I looked to saying, hey, I like how he plays, you know. And that's when Jimmy was, you know, up the middle with him, and I like that duo when they were in Philly. So you know, I'm going to try to have that same mentality when I'm on the field. I always have. So we'll just try to keep it going.
Should I be as scared of you as I was of Chase?
Time will tell.
Yes, the answer to the question is yes. It's always those quiet guys you got to worry about.
Chase Utley liked me. He warmed up to me, so hopefully the Vasse magic can rub off on you, Logan.
I think so.
Logan Forsythe is on the stage with us at Dodger Fan Fest. We saw you play. I mean, there are more people here, Logan, than there were at any of your Rays games last year. I'll just be honest with you.
Boom!
Oh, that's harsh.
Sorry, Logan. Speaking of the Rays, a Long Beach State guy that makes his home here, Evan Longoria, he was heartbroken the day you were traded. You talk about what players are saying comparing you to Chase Utley and the way you approach the game, but to have a guy come out publicly and say how upset he was that you got traded, how does that make you feel and the impact you're having in baseball?
That means a lot to hear a guy of Evan's stature and, you know, what he's done in this game. You know, he's one of the better teammates I've ever had to share the field with. And, you know, we carried a lot of the load over in Tampa, you know, helping some young guys and do stuff like that. And, you know, hear ex-teammates say stuff nice about you means you're doing something right. And, you know, I just want to continue that on over here.
Logan, before you were with the Rays, you were with the San Diego Padres. Mm-hmm. How are you a better player? Yeah, they don't like them here. Yeah, they don't. Hey, how about this? We took the Chargers, we took Tony Gwynn Jr., now we took Logan Forsythe from San Diego. How are you a different player than who you were with the Padres? Tony has said it was just a matter of getting an opportunity on an everyday basis. Is that as simple as it is, or is there something more to it?
It kind of was. But I will admit, you know, when I was first coming up my first couple of years, I don't think I was ready for an everyday role. I thought I was mentally, but, you know, the grind, the day in and day out, being an everyday guy, I wasn't ready. It took me a while, but my mentality was kind of always there of, like, prepare yourself. Like, I never lost doubt that that day might come. And then when I got the opportunity in Tampa, I said, I didn't have to think about it. I was already ready, so I just said, let's go. And, you know, good things have happened so far, and keep rolling.
I guess the other positive is that now you're with the Dodgers and on the same team as Clayton Kershaw. You being a right-handed hitter, right. I'm sure you were in the lineup every time he was facing the Padres.
Yeah, I faced Clayton quite a bit.
What was he like being in that batter's box? I don't think we hear that perspective. We hear it from the Dodgers side of things, but when you know you're going to face him on that day, obviously it's a tough task, but how do you approach that, and what's it like in the batter's box when you're standing there?
I mean, Clay, he's got a presence on the mound, you know, that few have in the league. And, you know, it's, you know what you're getting. I mean, he's going to battle. He's a bulldog. He's going to go as deep in the game as he possibly can. And with me, honestly, early in my career, I knew he was going to come in at some point. So I was just trying to catch up to him. But other than that, I mean, I think he's incorporated some more pitches in his arsenal now. So it's, he's a tough pitcher.
When you're on this stage, not the one here at the Fan Fest, but on this stage in Los Angeles, you're coming to a team that is trying to win their fifth consecutive NLS championship and get to the World Series. Yeah. How do you block all of that out? I mean, no disrespect to where you played before, but this is kind of different.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, anytime we came out here and played in L.A., I mean, the fans have been unbelievable. And, I mean, it's fun to play in an atmosphere like this. And now you got them behind you. So, I mean, it'll be fun.
This is your first opportunity playing with a ball club that going into the season is a heavy favorite. Does that change your preparation at all, getting ready for a season with the Dodgers as opposed to Tampa Bay?
No. My preparation's been the same since I've played. I've got a good idea of, you know, how I need to come into camp, what shape I need to be in. And I've kind of lessened my workload so I could stay healthy. You know, little tweaks here and there. But, no, I mean, my big thing was keep doing what I'm doing and, you know, try to mesh well with this club. That's going to be my big thing.
Do you think there is much of a difference between the American League, National League? You hear that a lot.
Come on now.
He's going from American League to National League. Is it going to be?
Interleague now.
I know that, but you hear this all the time. There's not going to be much of a change for you, right?
No, I don't think so. I mean, just knowing the league, I played here for 3 years, and, you know, I know Doc as well. I know how he manages or likes to manage the double switches, the pitchers hitting, you know, and now the shifts and everything. You know, I mean, all that stuff is throughout the league now. So it's not going to be too different. It's going to be a blast.
Logan, Justin Turner was on the stage, and he was excited about you not only as the baseball player, but also having a fellow ginger on the team. We see the beard very tight right now on you. Will you ever get it? Will Turner ever get you to grow it out as far as he's grown out his ginger?
It's gotten...
That's a no.
That's a no, huh?
Yeah, I've gotten it out there, but I've still tried to, like, you know, keep it tight. I mean, I got a little bit of the ginger. My brother's hair is similar to Justin's. So, I mean, it runs in the family, but... He might persuade me.
Well, Logan, thanks a lot for stopping by. As you can tell, everybody in L.A. is
super
excited to have you playing second base for the Dodgers. So look forward to seeing you in spring training.
Yeah.
Can I shake your hand or is it dangerous? All right.
I was very intimidated by Logan Forsythe on Saturday, so hopefully I can melt him like Chase Utley was melted by the Vasse charm. That'll do it for Nissan Dodger Talk tonight. Thanks to Ronnie Fascio for all his help, and thank you for listening tonight. We will be back with you on Friday night at 7 o'clock. If you missed any of the show, you could podcast it at am570la.com. Before we say goodnight, want to send out my prayers and thoughts to the one and only, the Hall of Famer, Bob Miller. Thinking about you, Bob. Hope you get well soon, and we love you. That'll do it for Nissan Dodger Talk tonight. See ya.